Blog Talk Radio.
All our listeners, all our supporters, and everybody
for supporting this ministry. I just want to praise God and give thanks to God. Amen. For blessing me one more day with life, blessing me one more day with my health and strength. And of course, a special blessing, a special blessing. We are now going to be honored on Wednesday at 6 a.m. with an hour of power of praise with our own Dr. Carolyn McNeil. Amen. She will be on the air on Wednesdays. Amen. 6 a.m. hour of power of praise. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful woman of God. Honorable woman of God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to be honored. Please tune in if you can. If you're up early at the gym, if you're up early praying, if you're up early getting the kids ready, if you're up, get the power of hour of praise. Amen. Glory to God. I just want to thank everybody once again. And most of all, I want to thank God. Amen. Father God, I thank you for you. I thank you for your son who found it not robbery to give up his life so we could live, God. Thank you for the precious blood that still works, God. Thank you, God, for favor. Thank you for grace, mercy. Thank you for strength. Thank you for joy, laughter. Thank you for sadness. Thank you for each and every trial and tribulation. Thank you for every wilderness. Thank you for every mountain. Thank you, God, that you have already set my path up for me to be successful. No matter what the enemy may think, whatever the enemy meant for bad, I know you meant for good. So, Father God, I thank you. I really, really adore you, love you. Search me now, Father. Evict anything that's me that's not like you. Please forgive me for anything I might have said, done, and thought that was unpleasing to you. Lord, we glorify you on this day. We raise up holy hands thanking you. We give praise and worship unto you. We desire you, Father. Search this world, Father. We pray against the spirit of murder, Father. We pray against the spirit of kidnapping. We pray against the spirit of killing and taking children, God. We pray against the spirit of diseases and illnesses, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just ask you to come and take control of your earth. Take control of your world. Take control of the minds of your people. Draw us nearer unto you, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless the children, Father. Bless all my friends, neighbors, co-workers, God, those who I know, those who I don't know, God, those who need a prayer. We send up a supernatural prayer unto them on this day, and we thank you for allowing us to share your airways with your people. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We say thank you unto God. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory to God. You know, I was sitting here as I got home and I tried to get myself together. I was sitting here in the studio and I was just thinking, and I was, you know, thinking about how, you know, when everything is together, we have the beautiful home, we have the beautiful car, we had the significant other, be it a wife, be it a husband, beautiful children, and God is just blessing us. You know, our names are filled with joy, our hearts are filled with praise, and everything is just going, going, going. And God is getting praised and God is being honored. And then later on, things start to dwindle, things start to decrease, if you may say. You lose the good job, you lose the home, you may lose a significant other, things just start to happen, and God is in the mix of it, and God is in control of it. But it amazed me how Christians, the first thing we want to say is, oh, they must be doing something wrong, oh, that must not been of God. Oh, I knew that was too good to be true. I knew God didn't give her that husband. I knew God didn't give him that promotion. I knew it. I knew it was just too quick. It was just too fast. I knew they was going to fall apart. I knew that marriage wasn't going to work. I knew their children was hard-headed. They wasn't going to get themselves together. But how many of us know that God has a plan that we don't understand? And even in the midst of this, there's going to be joy. The outcome is going to blow our minds. And as I thought about this, I thought about Ruth. Amen. So Tonight, if you can, we're going to read the book of Ruth. We're going to just read chapter 1, amen, and then we're going to discuss it with each other. And I promise you on next week, we will be taking phone calls. We will be discussing however Mount Carmel Ministry has been effective to you. Has it affected your life in any kind of way? Even just if you just have a prayer request, we will be taking phone calls next week. So please be a part of the ministry. Share what God has done with you. Amen. Share what God is doing in your life. Amen. We honor that. We honor the God in you. Amen. There's no big eyes and no little U's. Amen. We're all in this kingdom trying to build it for the glory of God. Amen. So let's go to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Amen. And when you have it, please say amen. You don't have to say it unto me. Say it unto God. Let God know that you're being obedient, that you're following instructions, that you're there. Amen. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of this man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. And they were Ephraites of Bethlehem, Judea. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of other women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughter-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was and her two daughter-in-laws with her. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judea. And Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go, return each her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that ye may find rest, each in the house of her husband." So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are you still sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go. For I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything, but death parts you and me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the woman said, "It is Naomi." But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Myra. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord had testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Amen. Now, I hope we all read that together, and I know some of you take notes, and I know some of you are scholars, and I know that we all have our own interpretation of what this might seem. But I want to talk about three things. The first thing is God's bitter hand. The second thing is what we do now. And then we're going to go into the reproach of the whole thing. Amen. Because we have to remember that she went out with dreams and she returned with nightmares. She left with her husband, two sons, and she returned childless and a widow. She left with hope and returned in despair. Now she was Naomi. Naomi had moved to Moab 10 years earlier with her husband and two sons to escape a famine in Judea. They bought a piece of land and started a life in their new country. Then her husband, amen, and their two sons, and her husband had died, and she was left with her two sons. We just read that, amen. Now she's a widow. Yes, she was a widow, but she still had two sons to protect and to provide for. Now, just look at that. Here's a woman, an elderly woman. Husband died. She went out. She had a husband. She had kids. She had sons. The husband dies. She's on her own with her two sons. She has to provide for them and protect them. And then the boys end up getting married to Moabite women. And then Naomi, she thought about having, she just dreamt about them having grandchildren together. She thought about better days. Amen. She got along with her sons' wives. They worked the land and experienced God's blessings in their lives. But there was no grandchildren yet. But life was still good. And all of that, they experience God's blessings. And a lot of times in our lives, there's things happening, and it seems like it's nothing's going to happen. But even in the midst of a storm, if we really think back, even in the midst of a storm or despair or lack of, we can see God's hand moving if we're connected to God. You can feel the move of God if you know how God moves. See, there's a connection in a personal relationship. There's not just you and God knowing each other. There's a feeling. There's a connection. There's a knowing that God has your back. There's a knowing that God is not going to let nothing happen to you. There's a knowing that God is just preparing us for greater to come. Amen. There's a knowing, but you have to have the relationship. You have to spend time with God. You have to worship God. You have to praise God. You have to stop talking and listen to God. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Life was still good. But in a short time, however, Naomi had another funeral. One of her sons died. Then came the knockout punch. The other son died too. Whew. How many of us can relate to that? How many of us could have still been hanging on? How many of us could have still had faith in God? How many of us would have still been trusting, believing that God is still guiding our steps, guiding our life, keeping us? How many? You lose your husband, you lose a son, Then you lose another son? That's a knockout punch to some people. And when I mean knockout punch, that's a white flag. I surrender. I give up. I'm throwing in the towel. I'm just tired of this. I'm just doing everything God asked, and he's just taking. I know that can't be God. You done slandered his name. You done had lack of faith. You done stopped trusting. You done stopped believing. You done turned your back on God. And after the other son died, Naomi was now a widow in need. Not only did she mourn for her husband and sons, she mourned for herself and her daughter-in-laws, who are going to take care of us. What do we do now? When things is falling apart in your life, do you first thought is, what am I going to do now? I can tell you what you're going to do now. You're going to continue to trust in God. You're going to continue to pray. You're going to continue to fast. You're going to continue to seek faith. You're going to continue to walk upright and believe and know without a shadow of a doubt that God has a plan. Even when it looked like it's not, even when everybody's still talking, even when people are biting your back out, they biting your back out so much they got toothpicks picking the meat out their teeth because they've been biting your back out. Soon as the first thing happened, they said it, I knew it, they just went crazy eating at you. And you start feeling the eating, and you just feel all the bites, you just feel all the pain, you feel all the suffering. But there's a part of you that knows that God got me. I don't care what you do to me. I don't care what you say to me. I don't care what you try to make me believe. You can never let me believe that God will never leave me, and he is not going to leave me stranded. He has me. I am his child. I am a part of the great I Am's kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. So these three women, all widows, were in a bad situation. Because widows generally had a tough life. And if you're a widow now, you understand in this day and time. Some of us in this day and time, as women, as widows, as single mothers, as single parents, are having a hard time. Got to keep the trust, got to keep the faith, got to continue to believe. Amen. They had an extra burden. Ruth and Orpah, the daughter-in-laws, were Moabite women, and Naomi was from Judea. Now, Naomi was living in a foreign country. Wow, how many of us have moved away with a significant other somewhere where we don't know nobody, somewhere where we're just foreigners and people just treat us any kind of way, people talk to us any kind of way, and we feel so alone and we just don't know what to do. She was in a foreign country away from her extended family, as miserable as it would be for Naomi to live as a widow in Judea. It would be better than staying in Moab. The choice was clear. The choice was clear for Naomi. She had to go home. Ruth and Orpah had two options: stay in Moab or go to Israel. They decided to go with Naomi. And Naomi knew the consequences of both options. She knew that her foreign widowed daughter-in-laws would be despised in Judea. As they walked along the road, Naomi urged the girls to stay in Moab and find other husbands, have children, be happy. Naomi was so certain that this was the right decision, she even kissed the girls goodbye. What a painful choice this must have been. But in Naomi's mind, it was a good one. And that's what happens when we're going through, when we're just seeing everything fall apart. The people are around us. We can't fall apart. We can't start blaming other people. We can't start saying, why is this happening? We still got to make good, sound, godly decisions for the people around us also. We can't pass the buck. We can't have all this extra baggage and blaming people. Amen. we have to go on doing the right thing. Oprah had enough sense to leave. But Ruth come to Naomi and begged to stay with her. Wow. So the two women came trudging into Bethlehem, a tired, deleted old woman and her young foreign daughter-in-law. The women of this town saw them and said, "Is this Naomi?" And Naomi's response was straight from the shoulder. "No nonsense. Call me not Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, for the Almighty have dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord have brought me home again, but empty." With these words, the women understood her situation. She had left Judea as Naomi, which means pleasant, and had come back as Mara, which means bitter. And who could disagree with that situation? She had to be bitter, sad, hurting, broken, doubtful, lost of faith. Oh, but guess what? Notice carefully what Naomi actually said. She claimed the name of Mara, because the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with her. Naomi had good theology. She believed in circumstances and events in her life were connected to her sovereign God. We don't know why God allowed things to happen as they do. We don't know why God allowed the things to happen as they did. But yet bad things happened, and they're going to happen to us like they happened to her. But what are we going to do? How are we going to respond? That reality is not unique to Naomi's story or time. Bitter reality have always brought pain and misery, but don't miss Naomi's response to it. Naomi was in a tough spot. She had trusted God for better things, but did her bitter circumstances turn her into a bitter person? Do your bitter circumstances turn you into a bitter person? Do they turn you into a nasty person? Do they turn you into a doubtful person? Do they turn you into a hurting, painful person, hurt people, want to hurt people type person? What kind of circumstances or what kind of person would you be in those circumstances? Amen? Think about it. What kind of person would we be in those circumstances? She didn't blame others. Amen. Did she? No. She didn't blame others. She didn't take stuff out on them. Did she drive everyone away with her whining and crying and nagging and boo-hooing? No. Naomi took inventory of her life and faced into her storm with clear reality. She was honest about her difficulty without making life difficult for those around her. Oh, I'm sad. You're going to be sad. I'm miserable. You're going to be miserable. I'm lacking. You're going to lack. I ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing. I feel like I ain't nothing. You ain't going to be nothing. That's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong behavior. Though it is not the beatitudes of the Lord, we got to continue to love. We got to continue to push on. We got to continue to believe. We got to continue to have faith. We got to continue to walk that walk upright, strengthen our back, walk with faith, trust in God, love on the Lord. sorry for technical difficulties, but that's how the enemy works. That's how things happen. I am so sorry. See? But I can't get upset about it. I hope you didn't get upset about it. We just got to understand that some things happen, and we just, and sometimes, you know, God has a familiar, a peculiar sense of humor, because, you know, okay, you're going to do this. It's just a little thing, but we can't get upset about that because the show went off for a few seconds. We can't get upset because of technical difficulty. We push on. We laugh it off. We say, thank you, God, that it's back on. You see what I'm saying? Thank you, God, you put me back on the right track. Thank you, God, you gave me a new husband. Thank you, God, you gave me a new home, a better home. Thank you, God, you gave me more favor. You gave me more grace. See, everything is lining up. God has a way of doing things for us to continue to grab hold to him, continue to love on him, to continue to trust and need him. Some of us have got to the point that we think we don't need God because we got those six-figure jobs. We got the 13-room house. We got 5 cars in a 6-car garage trying to get 2 more. Everything is just lovely, and I don't need God no more. I've been doing this. You only have it because he's allowing it. We cannot get distracted with things and forget who, first of all, who blessed you with them. And when he decided to take them, when it's a malfunction, a lack of, we still got to trust him and love on him just like we did when we had. You know, it amazes me. It just reminds me of the world. As long as you got money, I'm your friend. I knock on your door and you tell me you're broke. Hey, man, you know what? I just remembered something. I got to go back to the house and pick up something. But as long as you got, I'm there. When you ain't got, I'm there. That's not a friend. I trust God when I didn't have. I know why, and it's not even so much as things. I didn't have peace of mind. See, the one thing I needed, he continued to give me. He continued to feed me life. He continued to give me his wisdom. He continued to give me his word. He continued to give me everything that he said he was going to do. It's manifesting itself even in the midst of my mess, even in the midst of my lack, even in the midst of my pain, even in the midst of things just falling apart, and I think it's time to turn in the towel. I'm done. I just won't jump off a bridge right now. He said, son, no. Trust and believe in me. Wait on the Lord, I said. Be weary. No, be joyful, even in the midst of your storm. When it rains outside, the first thing we do is run and get an umbrella because you want to cover and protect yourself from the rain. So when the storm comes, how do we protect ourselves? Pray. Read the word. Thank you for the storm, God, because guess what? On the other side of the storm, see, a lot of times the storm comes down to knock down the stuff that's before you right now to give us better stuff. It could be mental. It could be financial. It could be physically. But he has to take, after a while, things get old to God. You done got a little too comfortable in that house. I got to get your attention again. You done got a little too attracted to this job. You done got too attached to this. I ain't seen you in church. I ain't heard you call my name. I ain't seen you since I blessed you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's not turn our back on the Lord. And I'm talking about in your storm. It was easy to love when somebody, you know, on somebody when it's good. But in the midst of your storm, in the midst of our lack, in the midst of our not having, when you're used to having an automobile and now you got to catch the bus. When you're used to eating steak and fried chicken and shrimp, now you got to eat ooze and noodles, peanut butter and jelly. Can you still love God? Or can you go out there and try to find a way and just say, well, Lord, this is what's going on. You already know the situation. I'm going to be humble. I'm going to be loving. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be trusting because on the other side, see, some of us might need to change the way we eat. Some of us, you know, okay, amen, glory to God. Move on. Yes, Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Did she blame others and take it out on them? Did she drive everyone away with her whining? Naomi took inventory of her own life and faced into the storm with clear reality. She was honest about her difficulty without making life difficult for those around her. Amen. No vindictiveness, no reproachfulness. It was this response to the bitterness of life that generated Ruth's loyalty to Naomi. See, it's something else. It's a bigger picture. Naomi is watching her. Ruth is watching Naomi and watching and watching, and it just made her get more and more attached to her. But more than anything, it attached her to her God. And that's the bottom line, drawing them unto the Lord. They have to see that. Listen, how can you tell me to trust and believe in God, and soon something happened in your life, I see you go crazy. I see you run up and down the street howling and cussing and screaming when all heck break loose in your life. But you're telling me, see, Naomi was so smooth and was full of finesse with her stuff. Ruth sat back and watched. Because I ain't going nowhere. Where you go, I go. Where you sleep, I sleep. Where you die, I die. What God you serve, I'ma serve. That's ministry. She did that thing, just walked upright. She changed her name. And even in the change of name, she explained to him that God did these things to me. Amen. That's the truth of it. Ruth's loyalty to Naomi, this Moabite woman, only information about the God of Israel came through Naomi and her family. Ruth was present when the awful truth of complete widowhood exploded in Naomi's life. What she learned about God from Naomi in those bitter times led her to say, "Thy God will be my God." And if you don't believe me, we can go back to verse 1, chapter 16 in the book of Ruth and read it together. Hallelujah. Chapter 1, verse 16, and let fall also some of the handful of purpose. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's go back. Let's go back. Because I just want to see it. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to cleave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. But this is the most part that I love the most. And thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die." See, everything she went through, somebody was watching. When we're going through things, somebody's watching. And we got to be reminded that because I'm who I say I am in Christ, because I trust and believe in the words of God, and I promise to God that, you know, I want to serve you unconditionally. We use words like unconditionally. Because you brought me out of this, God, I'm going to serve you. Now, we got to remember there's going to be tests with our words. Oh, you are? Is it because I gave you that handsome husband? Is it because I gave you that good job, beautiful children? And I'm not speaking this on nobody's life, but what happens when the subtraction comes? Can we still love on the Lord and trust in God the way we did when he was given? When he was given, can we still trust God? Like Naomi did, amen? It was this response to the bitterness of life, the word bitterness of life, that generated Ruth's loyalty to Naomi. Amen. With every reason in the world for a perfect opportunity to escape, Ruth said, "I'm staying with you." After seeing you lose your husband, lose your son, just be by yourself, nowhere to go, a foreign in a foreign land, every opportunity, every excuse, "Listen, I can't deal with this. I'm out." But she didn't do that. Ruth would rather face the dangers of going to a foreign culture than leave this woman who trusted in the Almighty God. She trusted in the Almighty God. She was doubtless. She trusted. And we got to be doubtless in our life. Amen. Amen. Listen, where we allow our circumstances and events to hinder our relationships with God. Because guess what? There are going to be circumstances and events beyond our control. A disabled child, a slow death from maybe cancer or another disease, a stalled career, and the list goes on and on. But we have to remember Naomi, her bitter reality did not make her bitter. Though we do not have any of Naomi's speeches beyond the words she spoke to the woman of her hometown, Naomi would certainly have said with Habakkuk, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in God of my salvation. It is saying, if you go to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, I think verse 17 through 18, you'll see those same words the woman of God spoke. Amen. There's going to come a time in our lives that the same person we are watching fall apart and lose everything. We got to understand who that person serves. We got to understand that each and every Christian will have their ups and downs, their trials and tribulations. But in the midst of this, can we still trust God? And some, it's going to be devastating than others. I hate to say it. I was looking at something today where a pastor killed his family and then killed himself. What was going through his mind? What spirits were in his brain at that time? What lack, what could it have been to make a man of God slash and just destroy his whole family, then himself? What could it have been? We as leaders, pastors, ministers, deacons, deaconess, elders, whatever your title may be in the kingdom of God, we have to fight. We have to fight a good fight. We have to stand on every word that God ever promised us. We have to go back in the archives and remember when I didn't have this and God gave me this. I had to remember when I served time in jail and God let no harm come to me. God allowed me to stand and see, preserve me. See, I never looked at that situation. I was killing myself on the outside. Listen, I have to put you somewhere where there's no one can get to your brain no more. No one can lead you astray. No one can get in your mind, because I'm going to put you in a place where you're going to have to spend time with me. Because the one thing I've learned about prison, every man in there either going to grab a Bible or a Quran. And whatever one it is, if it leads you to God, it just gets you to read it. If it just gets you to get up and be happy about the story, start enjoying the story. See, they start off as stories. And as you start getting knowledge of what God is saying to you, you start getting on your knees at night. I remember getting on my knees on a pillow and just folding my hands like I've seen on them pictures and saying, God, please don't let nothing happen to me. I don't know what plans you have for me, but I know I've been bad, and I know I'm in the right place. So because I'm here, can you keep me safe? And that's all I knew how to say. And as I went to Bible study, as I started going to church, the pillow, I no longer needed the pillow. I found myself just walking around talking to God. And before I knew it, I felt better about myself. And I've learned the word repentance, and I had to go and repent, and I had to start writing a list of almost everything that I can think of to repent for. And I probably will never be able to repent for everything I've ever done, but God started using that situation to prepare me so when I get out, and run into other brothers and sisters who's been in prison or heading to prison before their mind and spirit get bonded up. We have to give them a word that can free them even behind bars. Free them even in a mess, even in a gambling, even in a fornication, even in a theft, whatever it may be. We have to be able to plant a seed in them to break those chains. We have to be, even in our mess, even in our, not our mess, but even in our situations when things are falling apart around us, somebody got to see that we continue to pray to God. Somebody needs to see that we continue to trust in God. Somebody needs to see, because when they see that, I mean, and no, we don't know what they're going through, but if you can go through this, I know I can go through that. If I can see you always praising your God, always talking about the mighty God, always talking about what your God do, even if you did this and you don't have this, but you're continually searching, continually having faith in God, I need to know what is keeping you going. Because your house just burned down. You just lost your car. Your kids just passed. You just lost, and you're still walking around in tears, yep, and pain, yep, I'm still trusting God. Hurting, I'm still trusting God. Don't know what's happening in my life, but I got to continue to believe in God. See, we got to remember things are going to happen. We just got just the real of it. Things is going to happen. Amen. Everything is not going to be a good day. It's not always going to be sunshine. Amen. We just have to remember that God is in charge to do something real quick, and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about something.
I know Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He'll fix it. How many know he'll fix it? Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. You know, as the song was playing, as I promised, we was going to come back, and we was going to, because a lot of people don't believe that God is in your corner when you suffer. And so a lot of people don't believe that we have to suffer. Like, and it's not a bad thing. And I was going through some scriptures, amen. And if you have a pencil or a pen, you can follow me with these scriptures. But I was just searching, and amen, and I'm going to be honest, you know, for familiar scriptures for me, amen, the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 16. It says, "For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." We must suffer. Like, we just, there's going to be times, I'm sorry, it's not a bad thing, because I believe on the other side of my suffering is joy, is freedom, is peace, is understanding, is wisdom. Amen. It says, and if children, Romans 8:17, if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we what may suffer also be glorified with him. See? If we suffer with him, we're going to be glorified with him. Amen? It's not hard. And I'm not saying that to scare anybody, but I'm just trying to keep everything honest, because trials and tribulations are coming. Mountains, valleys, they come with everyday life. Amen. Romans 8:36 reads, just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. We were considered sheep to be, and that's crazy, because as long as we was out in the world, the enemy was just having his way with us. But God has a plan for us. Even in that part, even in that midst, if we think about all the sinful things we've done, all the ways when we was in the world, all the partying, all the crazy things, we thought we was cool, smooth. We just thought we was that, sipping and dipping and sliding and gliding. But if it was not for God, we would have continued been dying to this day. Amen. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharer of our suffering, so also you are shared of our comfort. We know he has a plan. It's not always going to be bad. I don't know why people think we can't have fun as Christians. Like, we're not having fun. Why? Because I'm not partying no more, because I ain't acting a fool no more, because I ain't lying and stealing and deceiving no more. Man, I'd have been to some nice Christian bowling alleys of fellowships. We can still have fun. We just don't allow those things that's not of God in our system. We don't allow things in our body. This body is God's vessel, and I want him to be able to dwell in mine. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. If we endure, we also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Just got to keep it real. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 11:25, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Fellowship one with another, my brother and my sister. I'd rather have ill treatment, ill times, bad times, crying tears. I'd rather have times with you, the people of God, than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. It's a passing pleasures, because that's all it is. It's going to pass right by. And the problem, the situation is still going to be there. Amen. Hallelujah. I just love on the Lord. I just thank him, because I really don't know who I might be if God wouldn't have kept me. Sometimes I just ask him, why did you keep me? I have a purpose for your life. That's all I hear. That's all I hear. I have a purpose for your life. And I know if you got a purpose for mine, he has a purpose for yours. We just got to trust and believe that we will see it come to pass. We can't see it come to pass if we turn our back on Christ, if we leave. Wow. There's going to be times where people lie on you, insult us, persecute us, and say all kind of evil things against us because we serve the Lord. And that's biblical. Matthew 5:11 talks about that. Because we serve God, we're going to be falsely accused. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to be lied on. Some of us are going to be hated just because of Jesus' name. But the one who endured to the end, that's the one who's always going to be saved. We have to endure all our hardship. We have to endure all our suffering. We have to endure all our pain. And we got to remember, the Bible says in Matthew 10:39, and this is on my card. My wife always tells me to get these cards and write scriptures down. And see, they come in in handy. He who has found his life will lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. So all that other stuff, when we give all that up to serve God, to say I am a man or a woman or a child of God, I will no longer do the things I used to do in the world. I will be who God has called me to be. I will try to walk on a daily basis and be upright and choose the Lord on this day who I will serve him on this day. I had to, you know, every day I had to choose God to serve God. Every day I had to choose God. Every time I wake up, I had to choose God. Because the minute I stop choosing God and the minute I just start choosing me, the minute I take God out the equation, the minute I choose my wife over God, the minute I chose my car, my career over God, I'm setting myself up for failure. Amen. Amen. This, you know, God has a way of reminding me who he is. And that's why I love this ministry, because it keeps you rooted. It keeps you focused. Even when you want to cry, even when you're hurting. See, I'm not that manly that I won't say that I don't cry. And a lot of times when I cry, believe it or not, there's nothing wrong. There's a weeping that's inside of me just for Jesus. I don't understand it. I could be listening to worship music. I could just be sitting here thinking about something God done for me, something that nobody knows, but I know God did it. And I'll break out crying. And I think the tears are, I don't know what to do. How can I please you? How can I thank you for what you did? I know it was only you. And my tears are showing you, like, I appreciate you so much. I am not ashamed to announce you. I am not ashamed to call you my Lord in public. I am not ashamed of you. I just want to let you know I love you and need you deeply. It may not seem like it, but if we take an inventory of what's going on in the world, we need Jesus. We need Jesus more than we need anything or anybody. We need to fellowship one with another and pray like we haven't prayed in so long. We need to pray to the point we lose our minds, that things start to happen. I want to be in a part of a prayer where I feel the earth shake. And I know that when the earth shakes, something is about to happen. I'm looking for such supernatural miracles in this season with this walk with God. See, I'm not even going to put a time on the season. But in this walk with God, I'm looking to see such supernatural miracles. I'm looking to see the blind see, the lame walk, the dead rise. I'm expecting to see these things. I'm going to do whatever I have to do to stay so connected with God and the people of God, because I need to continue to be taught. I need to continue to be prayed for. I need to continually remember that it's not about me. Amen. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. That scripture, 2 Corinthians 4, and my tablet says 4:11. Yes, I search scripture. I don't know every scripture by heart, but I'll ask God to give up me something to get to his people, to encourage them, to let them know that he still loves us. There's ministries being built in basements, backyards, homes. I don't care where it's being groomed up at. If God told you to do that ministry there, build it. Build it in his name. He'll do the rest. We just can't shut the doors no more. We just can't say, I'm not doing it no more. We just can't say, well, there's not enough people coming. If one come, that's enough. If one sheep, God will take you to the 99. But he put that one in our care. I'm looking forward to the hour of power of prayer on Wednesday, 6 a.m. I'm looking for a move. I'm looking for something mighty to happen. I'm looking for this ministry, this awesome woman of God. I'm looking for her to be used by God in such a way it blows her mind. I'm just looking forward to us to get up early and seek God and hear what God has to say to prepare us for our day. Because I'm wondering and I'm seeing and I'm believing and I'm even feeling so many people are ready to give up. So many people of Christ is ready to give up. The world is dying, and it needs us. It needs the power of God in us to lead them to their own spiritual outlet, to their own spiritual power in Christ. We can't give up on them. If it's uncomfortable for us, so be it. If we have to lose some things, so be it. If you have to lose some friends, so be it. We're doing this for Christ. And if I got Christ and I lose every friend I thought I had and I still got Christ, I'm still up in the game. I'm still up. I'm still winning. Losing in the world, but winning in the spirit. I'm still winning. I'm going to ask God to bless every leader's ministry, every leader's home, every leader's marriage. Bind them up together, Father. Make us as one. Unite the fire into it. Turn into an inferno. Touch the woman of God. Touch the man of God. Touch them together, God. Open the doors of their ministry. Open the doors of their heart. Open the doors of our minds and let you back in. Because some of us have closed the doors on God. We need to let him back in. We need that fire stirred back up. Let the spiritual coals come back and then let God ignite the fire in it. Let's stop trying to do it ourselves and just let's wait on the Lord. I want to thank every listener. I want to thank everybody that supports this ministry. I want to thank everybody who prays for me. Prays for our ministry to continue to grow. I don't look at numbers, but I look at souls. And if we can lead one to Christ, that's good enough. If this ministry can minister to one every Monday night, every Wednesday morning, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. But I believe that God is going to have his way in this atmosphere. In these airwaves, I just ask everyone to pray against the naysayers, pray against the doubters, and keep
moving forward in Christ. In our darkest hour, we have to remember that his hand is upon us and he loves us. And nothing will come between us and the love of the Lord. This has been your 66. And I once again want to thank everyone. Next week, we're going to have prayer. We're going to have fun. We're going to have fellowship. We're going to talk live with one another. And if the ministry has done anything for you, you can talk about it. You just want to talk about the goodness of the Lord. We're going to have fun. Please continue. Because some of you I really want to hear from. Some of you I really want to hear from. And I know God is going to be here with us. So please, tell a friend. And if you don't have a friend, ask Jesus to give you some. Because I do. Lord, I thank you for our panel. I thank you for our listeners. Bless their homes, God. Bless their finance. Whatever they are lacking, God, give them more of you. If it's wisdom, give them more of you. If it's strength, give them more of you. If it's power, give them more of you. If it's eyesight, if it's hearing, if it's bad nerves, whatever it is, God, any infliction, anything that's not like you, move on their behalf, God. If it's joy, if it's peace of mind, touch their hearts, God. Touch their mind. Show them what you want them to do. Show us what you want us to do. Teach us to speak like you speak. Most of all, teach us to love like Christ Jesus. No matter what the circumstances, let us move out like Naomi. Let someone be watching us and want to attach to us because of the God in us. We love you. And I just want to say a prayer for every man of God. I don't know why I keep men of God. Hold on, men of God. God has a plan. He's building it. Don't let go. Men of God, please. He got us. We just got to wait and trust and know that he got us. Men of God, hold on. Women of God, pray. Please pray for the men of God. Please pray for your sons, your nephews, your husbands, your brothers. Pray our strength. Pray our faith. Pray the spirit of encouragement. Please cover us in the name of Jesus. Please. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. We need to be covered in prayer. Genuine, sincere prayer. Speak those things as if they were so into the men of Machiavelli's life. We have a mighty work to do. Thank you. In Jesus' name, I say these things. Because I know he's real. I love you with the love of the Lord. And I hope you got your fix. God bless.